and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us here on the U2 America TV network nationwide and on BizTalk Radio all over the world as well. I'm Amy Fuller. A lot ahead this hour, including some renowned guests. We have the guy who started Saved in America. This is a network of, just military types, Navy SEALs who have taken time from their own lives to go out and recover kids who are missing. This is free of charge. And the update that you won't see on the website right there, it says 208 retrieved from the midst of wherever, whether they were kidnapped or groomed and taken somewhere. We are now up to 223. They looked for 223. They have found 223. They have a big event coming up in November, and also they are going nationwide in many, many ways. We're going to talk to the founder, Joseph Travers. Also ahead on America Trends, mental illness and guns. Dr. Michael Mantell, the author of the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, P.S. It's All Small Stuff, and more recently, The Link is What You Think, will be in to talk about what's really behind gun violence, not just in the United States, but all over the world. A lot of people like to weigh in and make it political. We'll hear what he has to say. And a new guest we are going to talk about, caring for those who once cared for us, one of the highest honors. This woman right here, Connie, has a book called Frazzled, A Caregiver's Journey to Happiness, Peace, and Prosperity. Sometimes the caregivers are the people who are most in need. We will chat about that just ahead. Trending in the news, the top polling Democrats in the race for the presidency in 2020 took to the stage Thursday night. Some of the topics, infighting among the Democrats and politicians in general, Medicare for all, and a few other things. Here are some of the reaction on Twitter and on Facebook. Did you see Beto O'Rourke? Hell yes, we're going to take away your AR-15. And he doubled down and tweeted that as well. Some claims from Biden falsely claiming the Obama administration did not lock people up in cages. Our own political analyst Tom DeBacaro weighing in on that, so check his Facebook page for that. Julian Castro, pants on fire, they say, on Twitter there, if you're seeing this on U2 America. Julian Castro caught heat for incorrectly calling out Biden for memory problems he said happened during the debate 2 minutes prior, but it looks like Castro misheard Biden altogether. Listen.
He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Automatically be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not.
I'll be surprised to him.
Andrew Yang.
This is why presidential debates are becoming unwatchable.
Yeah. Yeah,
this reminds everybody of what they cannot stand about Washington. Scoring points against each other, poking at each other, and telling each other that you're my plan, your plan. Look, we all
That's called a Democratic primary election. That's called an election. That's an election. You know, this is what we're here for. It's an election.
Just announced the New York Times and CNN will host the next Democratic debate. It's going to come to you from Westerville, Ohio, from Otterbein College. So stay tuned for that coming up October 15th. I'm going to take you to the Bahamas right now to look at some of the destruction. A new storm is expected to hit there anytime now. The country is continuing to recover from the near total destruction of Hurricane Dorian, of course. Entire communities are already crushed. No shelter, electricity, or help from the government there. Eddie Money, the prolific songwriter and singer, has passed away at the age of 70. He had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. His songs, Baby Hold On, Two Tickets to Paradise, and Take Me Home Tonight, some people say they were the soundtracks of their lives of the 80s. His family said he passed away peacefully. A lot coming up on America Trends. We thank you for being with us. We'll see you in just a few moments here. You're with U2 America and Biz Talk Radio, U2America.com. Catch us online anytime. Saved in America is a group comprised of military types, Navy SEALs, the toughest of the toughest here in the United States of America. And they are now going coast to coast in an effort to save children who are either kidnapped or groomed and lured away from their households, the most vulnerable among us. They have been around since 2014. The update, you're looking at their website right now, is now 223 children located and recovered since that date. 223 out of 223. And we say welcome to Joseph Travers, the founder of Saved in America. Welcome back. Thank you so much for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Amy. Thank you for bringing me back.
Absolutely. You're one of the people I just love to profile, you and your group. You are certainly doing God's work. And besides, you know, this, you've got some other ministries that you take care of too. So you really do have a servant's heart. And you do all this just because you always talk about it's a heart thing. And you pull people in who have the background, have the skills, they're well vetted. And can you tell us a little bit about the background of Saved in America? And then we have so many exciting updates about what's going on with the group.
Oh, definitely. And it is a hard issue. And we did as we designed Saved in America with three pillars. And the three pillars demonstrate what you just talked about, the hard issue. The first pillar is that we're all volunteers. We never take money. So our whole operation is a volunteer. Is number two, we never take money from parents that we serve. And number three is we're all former special operators and police officers who become licensed, insured private investigators.
I'll never forget, this is, you actually have, if you can get to Southern California, if you're already here, the third annual, what do you call it, fundraising dinner for Saved in America is mm-hmm. coming up in November. And I first heard about you at your first annual. I happened to be there with some friends of mine. And it was before I even started on America Trends. And I saw you guys and you talked about what you did and you pulled the guys up front to stand there, the picture we saw on the front of your website, and I looked at those guys, it just happens to be all men, and I said, these are the real superheroes. These are the people we should be feting and celebrating and speaking of. And I never forgot that. And when they invited me to come here and host on America Trends, your group was the first one I thought of. And I said, this is something to promote. This is how we can do some good. So people can help you raise money by going to your website and buying tickets to the event or simply donating. And let's just go back a little bit to when you first decided to do this, and again, we'll talk about all the new stuff. In 2009, you happened to be going about your business, private citizen, someone who'd served, certainly, and who had done ministry work. But you heard a story about a young girl named Brittany Drexel, whom, because of you, for one thing, her name won't be forgotten.
Correct. And Brittany was taken in upstate New York in 2009. And I saw this, and with my background working narcotics and gangs in L.A. County, I knew that this evil triad of street gang members and the cartel and the prison gang members.
Okay, can you repeat that about the evil triad again? Because once again, human smuggling, child trafficking, slaves, there's more slavery in the world today than there ever has been before. So when you mention that, this is a huge ordeal, but you deal with it every day. But people going about our lives, we don't necessarily realize this.
Yes, in the late 80s and 90s, this triad, again, of street gang members and the prison gangs and cartels took over the narcotics trafficking trade in this country. The routes for narcotics all come from this organized crime syndicate. Well, they decided the turn of the century into 2010, they were going to do this with young girls, enslave young girls for sex trafficking. So knowing this, when I heard that Brittany left, I thought, oh, I hope that didn't happen to her. And I found out
this almost is a news story you heard on the air, like we all do, and you literally stepped up and said, I mean, it changed your life, this one news story.
Oh, absolutely. And then the second news story a month later was United States Navy SEALs that were retired going overseas and rescuing children. So I reached out to the SEALs and I said, guys, our citizens here, our American girls are being enslaved. And they were shocked. So that's how we formed Saved in America. Now, one thing about Brittany, the FBI found out almost a year ago that she was taken by some gang members, taken to a gang house where she was eventually, you know, beat and killed and fed to alligators. So what we did at our second annual Child Save Not Sold mm-hmm. fundraiser, we invited Brittany's mom to come out and to give away the first annual Brittany Drexel Scholarship Award to a survivor of child sex trafficking. So this fundraiser will be able to do that for the second award for Brittany Drexel Scholarship. Wow.
you know, it had to be, there's nothing that can take away the hurt of losing a child, and certainly the hurt of losing a child the way Brittany went. And you sharing her story is huge, but to have her mother come in and speak had to just be so edifying for her and everyone involved. And to know that something is being done, this her particular death, her particular story, launched this whole thing. And I know in just a few weeks, in November, you're having another, and you have a very special guest lined up, and you can't quite announce it now.
I can't announce it yet.
It'll be very interesting.
It'll be very, very special. Our special guest is an author and a great speaker and has the most incredible past, so you can't miss it. So please go to the website. You can buy a table. You can be a sponsor. Get involved. We have some other very, very special guests that are going to show up. Last year, we had Mayor Falconer was there. And was
Mayor San Diego. You're based in Southern California.
Yes. So it's really going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And you get to meet the team.
So amazing. So. And I will say it's a she. The person. Can I at least say it's a she? Can I get it down to 50% of the population?
Yeah.
And it's a name people will well know, and they will definitely identify her and hers as American patriots. So it's going to be a tearjerker. It's going to be a very beautiful thing. So we look forward to November 7th in San Diego. People can get their tickets and come on in. So you went about the business of starting this group. And again, it came about, 2014, but you had been in the planning stages for 5 years. You really did your due diligence with finding people who, as you say, have this heart for matters like this. And of course, there are all kinds of things. You have to be vetted, the detective work, all these things. You can't just go in and say, hey, we're going to zoom in and save some people here.
Oh, no, actually, and we do a testing process. We do the vetting, we do the background investigation, psychological exam even.
Sure.
We, of course, firearms and things like that and all these permits that go with it. But they also have to take an exam and become what we call a CMECI, Certified Missing and Exploited Child Investigator. You have to score 90% on an exam to get that designation. So.
Some of the big announcements coming up, we've talked about your mobile command center. So this is somewhere where you can go all over the country and track down people and have sort of a haven. It's just a tool to help other people, but it's been betrothed to you guys to do all this good stuff.
Yes, and thank you, Supervisor Kristen Gaspar and the other County Board of Supervisors for the grant money to purchase this mobile command center. It allows us to take...
Yeah, we'll hold that thought and come back with more after this.
This is it. This is now. This is what I've been talking about. Looking now. Can't you see forever?
Saved in America is a group comprised of some of the most elite, some of the most heroic people in all of the United States of America. This is some of them. Joseph Travers is CEO and co-founder. He is a California State licensed investigator since 1984, and his investigative work has been chronicled in People Magazine, cable networks everywhere, and on HBO Vice. You might have caught that documentary. TV movies and series, a series called Renegade. He holds positions and titles with many organizations, and he has a lot of ministry work he leads, all in service of Jesus Christ and helping some of the most vulnerable people. Those who are under 16, right, who were taken?
17 and under.
17 and under. So children, 17 and under. If you get into a situation where you wake up, your child's gone, whether they've been kidnapped, you know, physically or groomed on the internet and lured out in some capacity, free of charge, parents can contact you and right away you take action. And this is significant because I know you work hand in hand with law enforcement and they so appreciate you, but they don't necessarily have all the tools and manpower to do what you guys do. So how's it work?
Well, there's a window of time. See, when law enforcement gets a call that there's a runaway child and there's no other evidence, because the evidence, of course, is on the social media.
Mm-hmm.
So they file a report. They report the child to NCIC, which is an FBI database. And then what they do is they write a report, and then 5 or 10 days later, it goes to a detective to start investigating.
That's too late.
That's too late. And Madera County did a study that once a female child is missing, in 48 hours, 60% of all those kids will be approached by a trafficker. So the detective hasn't even gotten the case yet.
Right.
So we're here to help to fill in that gap for the police because of the shortage of resources.
You know, it's interesting. You think of those dramatic moments, say, in the movie Taken with Liam Neeson. His daughter gets kidnapped. It's all Hollywood. But he calls an old friend of his who had served with him, and he said, so how long does she have? And they said, in 48 hours, she's off the radar. You'll never find her. And it is dramatized, but it's oh so real. And this is a huge problem that you guys tackle. And I want to get into how parents can sort of watch and identify, because teenagers go through all kinds of things. They're secretive. They're going through different things where they're, you know, they're coming into their own. So it's difficult anyway. So it's hard to determine, are they really in a state of danger where I should be paying attention to how much should I look on their social media and pay attention to what's on their phone and sort of spy on them, I guess. But first, I want to talk about this new mobile command center and another grant you've been given where you can actually help a physical place to take young girls.
Yeah, the Board of Supervisors and Kristen Gaspar completely helped us. They made a grant available so we could get ourselves a mobile command center, which basically allows us to do more than one operation at a time, multiple operations, with our tens of thousands of dollars of electronic equipment that we have to use. So we can keep that in one spot. And it's a safe place for the parent to stay while we look for the child.
Pretty sleek looking, but, Joseph.
Oh, that is a picture we just got back from Las Vegas. We did a joint operation with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. Thank you very much, Sheriff Joseph Lombardo. What a great man. He gets it, he understands. We all work together. And this is the first time we did an operation, by the way. We have over 200 reserve members of Saved in America across the country. So when we put out a call, we need boots on the ground, three of our reserves happened to be in Nevada, came and helped us on this operation.
That is really something, because everyone has their own lives, and sure, they want to volunteer, but they are literally dropping everything and saying, this is go time.
And they pay their own way, because again, they're all volunteers. They're all former special ops or peace officers who are licensed investigators too, and supply their own money for their own insurance coverage.
It's the very best of the best. Again, if you want to help out a group like this, you can come to their event in November. Find out more at savedinamerica.org, right? .org?
Yes.
Or simply go there, push a button, and donate. They're doing the heavy lifting. We can help out in a small part, again, to save the most vulnerable. And Joseph, what can parents do or guardians do if they think that, because it's a whole new way, it's not just the local newspaper boy being grabbed off the corner anymore. There is grooming, there are all kinds of electronic methods to try to garner young men, young women, and take them on the most nefarious purposes you can think of.
And what they do, there's recruiters that are gang member recruiters, and what they do is they try to look for children that are going through certain problems. Maybe there was a death in the family, a breakup in relationships or friendships or something like that, and it could be traumatizing to the child. And that's when the groomers, the recruiters come in and befriend the kids. And they do is they have secret conversations through not just Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and these others, but there's applications that they put on their phone that they communicate with. And then they get the trust of the child, and then they psychologically groom the child to eventually run away, and that's how they get them.
You know, do you have a way, do you ever try to consult with parents and give them input? How do you warn your child to be proactive and recognize these things before it can happen without freaking them out?
Know your child's friends. Know your child, first of all. Mm-hmm. Get involved. Who are their friends at school? Who are their friends after school? What is on their social media? And what social media sites? I know that's difficult because we're all behind. Mm-hmm. You know, 10-year-olds know social media better than I do, probably. Mm-hmm. And I know it pretty well. I mean, I still have to call my son if I have a problem on my iPhone. Hey, Josh, how do you do this?
By the way, your son, I want to mention, there go the pillows, is he does law enforcement now in another state. Yeah. He's following your footsteps. And you must be so proud.
The thin blue line. Yeah, right. He's a police officer in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he runs one of our reserve units on the East Coast. He's our case manager for Saved in America.
So, you know, this is just the best of America. I can't say it enough. And you just, again, with the the work you just finished in Vegas. Can you share any of, without giving away, you know, the way, the things you do behind the scenes to the bad guys, what sort of goes on when you get that call?
We get the information from the parent, and then we go through a social networking matrix with certain logarithms. And what we do is we trace the communication, and that's how we find the recruiters and the gang members, the pimps, through that process. And then we do something called geomapping. So anytime something happens in the social networking world, we know when and where it happened. And that's how we track them down.
You know, these people, this is not going to end because this is big money. It's the most evil of things, but it's big money. It's big business. And we hear things in the lexicon like branding and synergy. Well, these bad guys know it better than anybody. The evil triad is just one example of the synergy to making this business huge. So it's not going to go away. So we need people like you to do this, and you need the support of all of us.
We need the support. If you know any relatives that are peace officers or former special operators or licensed private investigators, have them go to our website. We have a volunteer link. We would love them to join us on our reserves. Mm-hmm. I mean, our goal is to have 1,000 or more reserves across the country so we can really give the resources to law enforcement, you know, where they need it.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet they will, too, because it's just so edifying to hear your story over and over again. About 20 seconds, but when is this facility going to go up? Or is it going to be in Southern California where the girls can come if they need, you know, that sort of buffer?
Yeah, thank you, Board of Supervisors, again. They just allocated $2 million
right?
for San Diego County for us to develop a home, which doesn't exist yet, a home for minor girls where when they're recovered, we have a place to put them.
And there's Kristen Gaspar, county supervisor. And, you know, not all these people have parents to go home to. So you guys are really doing God's work. It's savedinamerica.org. And go ahead, hey, 5 seconds, friend.
You see the gentleman to the either left of Kristen? Master Chief Kirby Harrell, the last.
I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun, feeling like a
when it comes to mass shootings or any kind of shootings and murders at all, where does mental illness meet, well, whatever, access to guns or whatever the political people are talking about on this day in particular? We are talking to Dr. Michael Mantell. He is the author of The Link Is What You Think and the classic Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's all small stuff. He was chief psychologist of the Children's Hospital and Health Center of San Diego and with San Diego Police Department for several years. Huge background, transformational behavior and leadership coach, known all around the world. And we're so pleased to have him on weekly. And that there you are, Dr. Mike. Oh, your content is not available
Why
right now.
Is
what
that?
Happened?
I don't know. Ooh.
In any case, besides saying live your dream, he is active daily on social media and has his Mantell's Daily Five that I love to pay attention to. So how
Thank
are you.
You?
Welcome back.
Good to be here again. Of course, this topic is not a light topic.
Not at all.
Let me see if I can put a frame around it really tightly.
Okay.
Do you think that someone who kills three or more people at one time, the definition of mass murder, has a mental illness? Much of the world wants us to believe they don't. In fact, I'll read you a quote. Forensic psychologists say that many would-be mass killers see themselves as part of a brotherhood of like-minded, isolated, and resentful boys and men.
Boy, okay.
And they look at these mass murderers as idols and as pioneers. I would say that's a definition of mental illness. Mm-hmm. The data that they bring to us is very interesting. They say to us, look, about 25% of people who commit mass murders have a mental illness, but the other 75-80% don't. The FBI did a study. They looked at mass murders from the year 2000 to the year 2013. Mm-hmm. And they said, guess what? Only about 25% of the attackers had an identifiable diagnosed mental illness. Amy, if I ask you to look in that book and find a word and you can't find it, you say, well, it's not in there. It's like the dictionary. If it's not in the dictionary, it doesn't exist. No. The Diagnostic Manual of the American Psychiatric Association, created in the early 1950s, started off with about 50 labels. About 50. Mm-hmm. Today, in 2013, the last version, there are over 300. So my point is this. Mm-hmm. It's not that these folks don't have a mental illness. It's just that it's not in the book yet. The sacredness of human life is what's missing in these people. Mm-hmm. To me, that's ill.
Doc, you know, there's so much that goes into this, and I know you've got some slides that actually identify what some people claim is mental illness. Is this a diagnostic manual you're talking about?
Right.
Because it says certain things, and I want to ask you to sort of parse through it because...
Let's put that up there.
Right, but it says things that you could almost identify with, you know, a family member you don't like, an ex, or whatever. How do you identify when it goes over the line?
So the American Psychiatric Association says that all diagnosable mental disorders have significant changes in thinking, emotion, and or behavior. Do people who commit mass murders have that? Yes. Distress and problems in functioning in social, work, or family activities, inability to cope with adversity, do they have that? Yes. Go to the next slide real quickly. These are some signs or symptoms of mental illness. This is from the Mayo Clinic. Look at the first one. Excessive anger, hostility, or violence, confused thinking, they can't concentrate, excessive worries or fears, detachment from reality, suicidal thinking. Do they have that? Yes.
Now, Doc, I had to really look at this, if we could just leave it up for a moment. I really had to look at this and stare because this is a lot to take in. And who is the person who determines what is excessive anger? What's excessive hostility? What is confused thinking?
Well, psychiatrists, psychologists, social workers, mm-hmm. people trained to do this kind of diagnosis.
Okay.
But when we're told that the FBI could only identify 25% of people with a label of a mental illness, that means that the label book just doesn't include it yet.
It's not comprehensive
enough. It's not comprehensive enough, exactly right. There's a diagnosis called oppositional defiant disorder, ODD. Not OCD, ODD, mm-hmm. oppositional defiant. It's often for kids who are very unruly, argumentative, hateful, spiteful, revengeful. They yell, curse, throw things, destructive of property. That's given the diagnosis in the book of mental illness of oppositional defiant. So kids who are, blame others and refuse to comply, revenge seeking, have a label of a mental illness. But someone who shoots and murders 25, 30 people, that's not in the book?
Yeah, you're not healthy if you're doing that. And that's
absolutely.
You can't argue with that.
So and I call that the diagnosis ought to be mass murder, not otherwise specified.
Oh.
Not otherwise specified is a label we use now, like depression doesn't fit this category, doesn't fit this category. It's not otherwise specified. Mm-hmm. And that's what this should be. So when they blame President Trump, he's just blaming mental illness.
Oh my gosh.
He's right.
Everything, hurricanes are his fault.
Right,
and
the Bahamas. Right, now what about the guns? Should we take guns away? Look, I don't want to get into that. I think it's better for people not, especially those who have mental illness, not to have those guns. But that's not the problem, because many people with psychosis do not commit mass murder. Many people with schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, personality disorders don't commit mass murder.
A lot of them are victims in some other capacity.
That's right.
It's just that this is what we hear about and people are fearful. But we can't just throw the label on anybody.
Right. And so this is not to stigmatize. Mm-hmm. This is not to, you're saying people with mental illness are mass murderers. No. I'm saying mass murderers have mental illness. Mm-hmm. People who have mental illness don't necessarily do these horrendous things. Acts against the sacredness of human life. Mm-hmm. So I believe that what we need to do is step back and stop this debate about, you're saying everyone with... No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we need to change the book. The book has changed five times since it came out in the 50s. Mm-hmm. We need another revision. The last revision was just coming out in 2013, the people on the committee were so angry, the head of the committee left, quit. And there was such...
Because they were at odds with each other?
At odds with about what should be in, what shouldn't be in. For example, trauma, one of the things was sexual violation. And they wanted it to be sexual violence. So there's a lot of discrepancy. We like to think that science is pure. And guess what? It's not. It's just developed by people.
Well, and also, Doc, it's so germane to the discussion right now. We're in the midst of a political, of a presidential candidacy. 2020, we're going to have either Donald Trump back or someone else. And people want to use, for the expediency of their own campaign or their own agenda, they're going to take any mass shooting or any cultural development at all try to make it political. And that just does not behoove us.
Beto is going to take away everyone's guns it's ridiculous. Donald Trump is going to be the president again. I don't have any doubt. There's no doubt at all. Just whatever he says obviously is wrong because he's saying it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to this, the diagnosis is just not in the book yet. What happens when it comes into the book? And then, you know what's going to happen? The next time it's in the book, this mass murderer is a mental illness. And so we have to look at that very carefully.
About 15 seconds, but I want to put up your last slide that shows what mental health is. Do we have that, guys, in time? Sorry, I called so late.
Well-being, which the individual realizes his or her own abilities and can cope with normal stresses of life without killing people, can work productively and fruitfully without blowing up the workplace, and is able to make a contribution to the community, not destroy it.
More at drmichaelmantel.com. Well, we all know it takes a special kind of person to be a caretaker, and it takes someone who has a real, just sort of being able to identify your own needs to realize that sometimes the caretaker, we hear this all the time, is the one that needs the most care, so to speak. And so taking time for that is certainly a must if you want to help other people. Our next guest is Connie Bohager. She is the author of a book called Frazzled, A Caregiver's Journey to Happiness, Peace, and Prosperity. She has a true servant's heart. And Connie, we'd love to welcome you to America Trends. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I thank you, Amy, for having me today.
Connie, can you tell me a little bit about your background and what led you to write this book, which I'm sure is just going to be such a blessing for so many people who go through, you know, the ordeals and the obstacles and the challenges of taking care of other people, especially as you talk about, it's not just the physical, but dementia and certain things that can really, you know, draw so much strength away from the people trying to take care of them.
Absolutely, and that's why I wrote it. Most people, when they're caregiving, focus all of their attention on the person that they're caring for. And so what happens is they lose themselves.
Sure.
And what I want to do is not only help them to get through the stress and the frustration and the burnout that comes with caregiving, but to get them to focus on something other than their loved one. And most often, caregivers do not focus on anything other than the person and the duties that they have to do for the person they're caring for. And what happens is they lose themselves to the point where when their caregiving journey is over, they have nothing. Oh. They're empty. They don't know how to pick up the pieces and go on. And 4 out of 5 families actually fall apart when someone in the family comes down with dementia or Alzheimer's disease or one of these diseases that is very debilitating over a long period of time. So my focus is to work with caregivers to get them to realize that there's no guilt in taking care of yourself and your own needs. And I became a nurse while I was caring for my mom, which Wow. was a tremendous feat. And I couldn't have done it unless I had the faith that I had in God, actually. And I wrote this book starting out on one venue of teaching, and I wound up, it's actually a story of my life to tell you how I got started, you know, where I was in the very beginning, how I met the Lord in my life, and then how my life unfolded, and I wound up caring and being a nurse. Okay, and then caring for folks. I cared for my dad who had cancer, cared for my mom, and of course I've taken care of many people as a nurse and trained many caregivers along the way.
you really do have a heart for this, and it is true. You start out the back of the book that tells a little bit about you. It starts out, Connie dedicated her life to Jesus Christ in 1971 and discovered God is real and has a plan for each of us. And, you know, if we just wait on him quietly and pray, he will lead us to what we can do to be edified by helping others. And you've certainly done that. You were helping your mother, and you became a nurse out of that.
Yes. It was wonderful that I had a great caregiver that was marvelous with my mother. She, you know, she was totally trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And I was able then to go to school. I had no desire to go to school at that time. I had retired from a major corporation and had dabbled in a few things. I was really too young to retire. And when we realized that she needed to be with somebody, I brought her, I purchased a home because she was in an apartment. And I had given everything up, going to live my dream of going around and teaching and traveling and whatever. And, of course, those plans were interrupted because she needed someone to care for her. And I was the only available daughter at the time. And my sister and I owned a restaurant at the time, and so we sold it, and I purchased a home and moved her in, and that began the process. But I didn't know at that time that she had these issues, and it was very interesting because I had no clue about Alzheimer's disease, dementia, any of that. My mother had never been sick. The only indication that anything was ever wrong is she had a mini stroke when we moved her from Florida to Pennsylvania, and then she was living on her own, and lo and behold, we went to visit her one day, and she had fallen down the stairs in her, gone out to the mailbox, and it was an outside kind of stairway, was stone, and she scraped her arm up, and when we arrived, we noticed she had it wrapped up in toilet paper with scotch tape, and she never called anybody to tell us what had happened. And so we knew at that point that maybe it would be safer if she was with somebody. Had no idea, though, that there was anything cognitively wrong with her. And what I learned later is that people who do begin to decline cognitively hide it very well.
You know, I actually have seen that in my own family, and it's very scary because when they hide things, that can lead to another tragedy. And yes. And so to have, you know, I got to say, Connie, there are a few things as special as having a family member that will stop everything in their lives and take care of you. And it almost brings me to tears because our culture has moved away from that. And not everyone can do it. Certainly we have our lives. We have our own kids. But it's so, so very special. So what's the first thing you tell people, about a minute till the break, what's the first thing you tell people when you say, you know, take care of yourselves as well?
That's where it gets challenging, because caregivers think they are taking care of themselves. And the main thing is to realize that it is not selfish to take time out of your day for you. Take a bath, take a shower. Talk to a friend, have a cup of coffee, and include that person as much as you can in everything that you do. And realize that you need to get into their reality and stop trying to pull them into your reality. Mm-hmm. And you'll get along a whole lot better.
The website is caregivercoachingllc.com. Connie, I'm low on time, but I want to remind people your book is called Frazzled, A Caregiver's Journey to Happiness, Peace, and Prosperity. And what a book. Not only have you given your time to your mother, your father, and others, but you've tried to lead all us on how to do better. And I want to have you back really soon to talk about healthy lifestyle, nutrition, what to do after the person passes away, and having something of your own, and financial future, which your book all covers. Connie, we thank you so much, and we'll see you back soon, okay?
You're welcome. Thank you.
World remembering Eddie Money, who has died at the age of 70. He passed away peacefully. He, you know, people say They claim he played the soundtrack to their lives in the 80s, Baby Hold On, Two Tickets to Paradise, Take Me Home Tonight. He had announced that he had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So any money? Again, dead at the age of 70 and everyone remembering him. We want to say thank you to our guest for this hour, Joseph Travers of Saved in America. Big gala coming up, and they are thanking some benefactors in San Diego County where they are located for a new mobile command unit which helps them save children who are kidnapped, taken all over the U.S. And they're also going to have a new facility to house kids who need a place to stay once they are saved. So thank you to Joseph Travers. SavedInAmerica.org is where you can find out more about their events coming up and where you can give as well. Dr. Michael Mantel, author of The Link Is What You Think, was here. You can find him on his website, drmichaelmantel.com. And Connie Bohager talked to us about how to take care of those who, how to take care of ourselves when we, in fact, are the caretakers. So some great words from her. And her book is called Frazzled, A Caregiver's Journey to Happiness, Peace, and Prosperity. You can find us on America Trends 24/7 on our website, u2america.com, and click through there to find our streaming services, our past shows, our other programming there on U2America, and live streaming all the time. And you can click through to find us on social media. So check us out there, please, and also on Biz Talk Radio. Finally, going to leave you with President Trump. He delivered remarks at the 2019 House Republican Conference member retreat dinner Thursday, and he talked about what they are trying to do for our heroes in America, our veterans.
Together, we enacted the VA Accountability Act so that anyone who mistreats or abuses our great veterans can be promptly fired. There was a time you couldn't fire anyone, no matter how they treated our veterans, whether they stole or they were sadists, and we had some of them too. You couldn't fire them. And now we can do it very, very quickly and easily. They don't treat our veterans well. We get them out. Since then, we've removed more than 7,600 employees who failed to give our vets the care that they so richly deserve. We're also very proud to tell you that the Veterans Choice, which is something special, so special, they've been trying to get it for decades and decades, choice, so that more veterans have the right to see a private doctor if they have to wait online instead of waiting for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 5 weeks or numbers that you wouldn't even believe. Think of it. You're sick, you're not feeling well, and they tell you come back in 4 weeks. Now you go outside, you go to a local doctor that you of your choice, by the way. Unlike somebody else, where they said, you can have your doctor and you can have your plan 28 times. That didn't work out too well. You go out, you see a doctor of your choice, we pay the bill. And it's been an incredible thing. I'll tell you, what's happening at the VA has been really something special. If you look and you just see it. All you used to see and read about is how bad the VA was run, how horrible it was. And you don't hear those stories anymore. Now, you know, what will go is these people will run out, they'll start trying to find somebody who is unhappy, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. Who's unhappy? Please call us immediately. And that's the problem. But I will tell you, people are really happy. What we've done there is incredible. We achieved record funding to restore the awesome might of the American military, $700 billion last year, $716 billion this year. And now, just to prove, thank you very much, $738 billion next year. More money by far than ever before. And remember, that's all money. It's built in the USA. We build it right here. America, I will tell you, is respected again. Our nation is stronger today than ever before. We have the greatest equipment. We have people with spirit like they haven't had. But we now have the greatest equipment. When I came into it,